one of the things that the Labour government did during the last Labour government did during the recession was to, if you like, recognise that the car industry was internationally competitive, but it was really struggling, and viable plants were going to go bust. And we actually tided them over, and now we're seeing our car industry helping to get back on its feet. So it can involve that, but it's not simply about cash. The other thing I'd point out, and this is a complex area, but government spends a lot of cash already. And I think if you look at other countries, they do a bit more than we do. Recognise, for example...
Oh, dear.
...you procure things. Now, this is a tricky area because you've got to obey... And there's some high-profile examples recently, like Bombardier, where I don't think government has been doing enough.
Just to let you know, I know you're sitting in our radio car. There was a little bit of a problem with the line there, so we missed some of that.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. It's not your fault. It's ours. It really is. Let me come back to the point about cash, state cash. How would you work out what was a smart, efficiently run manufacturing company with a future that might need some cash and one that wasn't? Because you wouldn't want to do... what you did with Rover, for example, would you? Where the last Labour government gave them an aid package of around 150 million just before it collapsed and a year before it was sold to a Chinese company. Oh, no. That's a nightmare, isn't it? What about you, Charles, in Wakefield?
Basically, I think he's unelectable. He's like Ian Duncan Smith was. You know, people like that. I just think he's got no gravitas. He's got no importance. I think he's too young. He's got no life experience. And I just don't think he's credible. I mean, I've voted Labour all my life. I would never vote Conservative. I couldn't do it morally. I just couldn't vote for them. But we need to have a credible opposition. He treats PMQs, Cameron wipes the floor with him every week. He just treats it as if it's like a six-form common room. He just doesn't seem to be taking things, you know, seriously. I know he'll probably come back on and say, oh, I'm taking it very seriously and all the rest of it.
Well, he's listening to you right now, Charles. Ed Miliband, this is a lifelong Labour voter. He just says you have no gravitas. You're unelectable.
Well, obviously, I don't agree with that. Nice to be back with you,
sorry about
Victoria.
That.
What's the name of the caller?
Charles in Wakefield.
Yeah, good.
Charles, look, let me tell you about Prime Minister's Questions. I just caught the end of what you were saying. What I try and do at Prime Minister's Questions is ask the questions that I think the country wants asked. Now, Prime Minister's Questions is always a lot of argy-bargy, but the thing I've been concentrating on in the last few weeks is around the National Health Service. And the reason I've been concentrating on that is because I've got such fears about what the government's plans means. Now, you know, sometimes you win at Prime Minister's Questions, sometimes you don't. But I think what's really important is to ask those kind of questions and the questions that matter to people around the country. And I'm going to keep doing that.
I just don't think anybody takes you serious. I don't. This isn't a personal attack by any means. But I just don't think people take you seriously. It's just you just don't seem, you know, to be involved in the process. I mean, it's like, I think it's quite clear to everybody. You're not going to be the Prime Minister of this country, by any stretch of the imagination, and I will put my life on that, that is not going to happen. And if Labour are going to win an election, it'll be with somebody else, somebody like Peter Ain or somebody like that, who's got a wealth of experience of life. You're doing...
Hi, Andrew, nice to talk to you.
Hello, Mr. Miliband. You're doing nothing. I'm an ex-Labour voter. You're doing nothing at all to get my vote back. You're not acknowledging the damage that you've done. I mean, with the in your own party, you're all Oxford educated. You don't know anything about the people, lives I live and lead and people like me lead. You're all so insulated. You just don't have a clue. I'm sorry to say this, but you are, and I wish you would acknowledge that.
Tell me what the biggest issue for you is, Andrew. What's the most pressing concern you have at the moment?
The amount of money that Labour have spent on this country and wasted. We've got PFI schemes, we've got NHS hospitals that are costing the thousands to stay empty. The gap between the richest and the poorest actually increased under Labour. That should have decreased. You did that. You and your party caused the problem. I want you to acknowledge that. And I want you to lead. You're not leading.
Well, let me deal with both of those two issues. On the first issue about the private finance initiative, PFI, we built, I think, about 100 new hospitals with PFI. And, look, sure, there are worries that people have about the costs of PFI. I've just got to say to you that the urgency that there was about rebuilding our hospitals... I mentioned my sons and they were born in UCH, University College Hospital. That was a brand-spanking new hospital. I'm sorry?
That should have come out of taxation, not with this deferred payment that's costing us millions and billions of pounds.
But let me just say, Andrew, look, we could have taken it. Let me just make this point and then come back. We could have taken it. You're right. We could have borrowed a lot more up front. But frankly, we couldn't have done that and we couldn't have made the hospitals happen. What I think about is, well, actually, those hospitals wouldn't be there if we hadn't used the PFI. I understand the concerns about PFI. I understand the concerns about the cost of it. On your point about the gap between rich and poor, look, there's different figures on this, but I acknowledge we should have done more on that. And I have to say, you know, I have talked about the responsibilities of those at the top. I mean, I think that is a very, very important part of what I've changed about the Labour Party, because I've said, you know, Peter Mallison used his famous phrase, which I think he has said he was wrong about, which is, you know, we're intensely relaxed about the filthy rich. He said he was wrong. I agree. You know, people at the top do have to pay their fair share.
Andrew, what would Mr Miliband have to do or say or promise in order to win you back as a Labour?
At the moment, with him in charge, it's just not happening. I would need, even within the Labour Party itself, the actual shadow cabinet, I want to see people that have worked actually in private industry. I don't just want to see people that only work in politics.
Sorry, who was it who said resign then?
That was David.
David, are you a Labour voter?
I am a Labour voter, yes.
Talk to Mr Miliband.
For a while.
Talk to Mr Miliband.
But Mr Miliband, you fail to inspire. You fail to get people looking forward to going out and getting the Labour vote out. It's really bad what you're doing. You're not inspiring anyone. You're making it hard for people to vote Labour.
What's your biggest issue, David? What's the biggest issue you've got concerns about? Well, the biggest sort of policy issue?
The biggest issue is that people need inspiration. They need to be inspired by someone, by their leader. And you've never done it. You're not doing it now. And I can't ever see you doing it in the future. I'm sorry to say this, and I don't mean to be cruel, but it's so important, a job that you're doing. I don't think you can do the job.
We obviously have a difference of view about that, David. I go around the country and I talk to lots and lots of people about how we can change their lives. That's what I came into politics for. That's what I think the Labour Party is about. You know, and people will make their own judgments on that.
What frustrates you, Mr Miliband, about the way you're perceived?
You know, I'm not someone who tends to get frustrated. I'm somebody who looks at the fact that we're a party that has attracted 65,000 new members, that has 850 more councillors, that, as I say, has been winning by elections. And what frustrates me is what's happening to the country. What frustrates me is what's happening to the NHS. What frustrates me is a million people being out of work. A million young people being out of work. Yeah, that's what frustrates me. That's what I care about. That's why I'm in politics.
Are you affected by personal comments like that? I know you'll say it's trivial, it's shallow, but many voters do care about how people in the public eye look and sound.
No, I won't say it's trivial, but what I will say is that no, because I'm not affected, because actually you come into this job knowing that you'll get lots of commentary, lots of criticism, lots of people saying do it this way, do it that way. It comes with the territory. I think past leaders, Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, would all have said the same thing. And that's life. That's what you come into this gig for. And actually, what matters to me is the people I meet and the issues that I talk about. And that's what I... that's, as I say, what's significant for me.
What sort of advice does Tony Blair give you?
The advice that he gives me is be yourself. You know, he doesn't agree with me about everything, but we agree on a lot. And, you know, I've said I think we need to move on from New Labour. And his advice is really, you've got to do it in your own way. And I think that's what all leaders would say. And that's what I've been doing. And, you know, when I speak out about something like bank bonuses or about Rupert Murdoch, it's because I see what's wrong and I speak out about it. And when I see what's happening in the NHS, I speak out about it. And I think that's the way you've got to do the job.
How often do you speak to Mr Blair for advice?
I've seen him a few times since the last general election.
And do you ask Gordon Brown for any advice?
Yeah, look, I talk to all the, you know, I talk to all the past leaders, but not that regularly, because I think generally their view is, and they're